your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
It's higher than the mountains that I face, and it's stronger than the power of the grave, and it's constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains, this one thing remains. Your love
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul, and I'll never ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains, this one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My death is paid, there's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
We stand as we join together in the call to worship. We live in a world of darkness and sin, a world filled with problems and pain, a world that makes us long for that which is good and graceful. Where can such glory be found in a creation subjected to emptiness and the pursuit of physical pleasure? In a creation that itself craves to be set free from its slavery to corruption and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Offer the Lord the glory which his name and love deserve. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Knowing that he is a holy God, we come before him first in our service to confess our sins. We join. Lord, have mercy on us. In this hour, help us see our sin and desire a fresh start with you. Help us see the shortcomings in our lives and look to you for the answers to our problems. Give us a new vision of what life can be like. Teach us to hope, to love, to give, and to have faith all through Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, bring us your peace. Our God has heard the cries of his people and has had mercy on us. He has seen our need and provided for our salvation. He has seen our condition and provided the solution. He's seen into our hearts, and yet he has given us a Savior. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our sin is no longer a weight that holds us down. We are free to live in victory, free from the sin of our self-deceit, and free from Satan's power. Praise God for his goodness. And we pray, Lord God, before the suffering and death of your one and only Son, you revealed the glory on the holy mountain. Grant that we who bear his cross on earth may behold by faith the light of his heavenly glory and so be changed into his likeness through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And you may be seated. Our second song is Jesus Messiah.
Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. The Lord of all. The Lord of all.
Our first lesson is the epistle from Romans chapter 8. It is a magnificent promise. It is, as we'll hear today in our sermon, pure gold when it comes to being able to trust God and to have our foundation firm. As the intro describes, Paul doesn't say that God is the one who has everything predetermined, though he is aware of what's happening. He makes use of everything that it becomes good for us. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is our epistle lesson. Our next song, Cry Out to Jesus.
Jesus.
to Jesus.
A part that I love, maybe as much as the kids do, we invite the children forward for a special message. Children's message, ages 3 up through 6th grade. You are such a special gift to your parents. And that's true even when you don't feel good and when you're crabby. You ever been crabby? Are you happy all the time? There are sometimes things that happen, even to children that are trying to be happy, that make you very sad or scared. Something hits you hard. It might be a disappointment. Maybe you didn't make that basket at the game, or you couldn't even play because you hurt your thumb. Maybe it was that you got sick for something like Christmas Eve service. Maybe it was something where you physically got hurt. And you know, just this week I was talking to parents, and they were telling me how it really breaks your heart, especially a mama, when the little one is going through something and you have to let them go through it because they need to be tested or get the medicine or get the doctor's help. There was a very little guy, happened to be my grandson, who had to go through tests this week, and he had to be put in a tube. He's 18 months old, he doesn't understand. They had to put him in a tube to take an x-ray of his chest, and he screamed his head off because he thought they were hurting him. And he looked at his mother with a dagger, like, why are you letting this happen to me? You ever done that to your parents? Yeah. Probably. Because you don't understand. You have that feeling that this is hard. I'm hurt. Who's going to help me? Where's the healing? And you know, Job felt that way too. Job was a man in the scripture. A whole book is written about him who had a very hard life. In the middle of his grieving, his hurt, he said, "Does not man have hard service on earth? Are not his days like those of a hired man? Like a slave longing for the evening shadows, or a hired man waiting eagerly for his wages? So I have been allotted months of futility." That's like emptiness. "And nights of misery have been assigned to me." You ever had a hard time sleeping because you didn't feel good, sick? Or maybe you had an ache or a pain? And where do you usually feel like going when you feel sick or hurt? You go by, well, not probably yet. We all want to go to heaven. Not quite yet, but that's eventually where we're going to go, right? When we are really sick. But when you're sick, you might go by your mom or dad for help, right? You go near them to get them get a hug or get some help from them. Job was reaching out to God. He says, "When I lie down, I think about how long it is before I get up. The night drags on. I toss till dawn. My body is clothed with scabs. My skin is broken and festering." You see, what happened was he had a lot of loss. He had people that were taken away from him. They died. He had some of his property that was stolen. And then, to make it worse, he got very sick, sick so that he couldn't even function. He had to lay down and just groan, even to the point where his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And he said, "I can't, because God is still good. God is still my loving God." Then he says, "Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath." You see, God hasn't forgotten, has he? When something happens to you that's difficult, and maybe this is more for your parents, the hard things is when we need to remember God. Not that he has ever forgotten you. When you go through something tough, you need to remember God loves you more than your mom or dad. Some things your mom and dad can't do because they're human beings. But God will carry you through. You know, that happened this last week to my daughter. She had to take that little one in and found out that he has pneumonia, but the reason they went in is because he had a seizure in the car. And so they had to take him to the hospital and have him examined. It was pretty scary. You know, that same mother, when she was a little girl, pulled a table over on her face. And we had to take her to Children's Hospital, and she had to have her head taped down for x-rays. Was that bad? No, it was okay because we wanted to find out if she was hurt. Was it bad that we go to the hospital? No, we have to sometimes get help, don't we? And when mom or dad do that, you trust them that they know what's good for you. And one day maybe you'll be the mom or dad that has to help your child. But beyond all of that, you need to know that God is on your side. God is good. And God loves you. He'll carry you through whatever happens in your life. Because we know he did so. Even with his own son, he carried Jesus through the grave and resurrected him for us so that we can have hope. You may return to your seats. We stand for the gospel. Mark chapter 1, here is Jesus when he came, and he applies that power, that divinity, and that love in the family of Peter. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he could not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go to somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the gospel lesson. You may be seated for the song, "Your Grace Finds Me."
Saint and for the sinner, So I'm breathing in your grace, I'm breathing out your grace, I'm breathing in your grace, I'm breathing in your grace.
Friends who put their lives on the foundational promises of God. It was a Reader's Digest article that said the following: like many high school seniors, my son was filling out a college scholarship application. One form asked for extracurricular activities, so he answered wrestling. The next question requested positions held. He entered pinned, mostly. How many of you haven't felt that way? That you're continually being pinned down on the mat and just waiting for the count? You know, we all have times and don't see it coming. Like Paco the parakeet. He was just singing his song, minding his business, when his owner decided to clean the cage. She came with a vacuum cleaner and began to vacuum out the stuff on the bottom. And he was a little bit frightened off in the side when she got a phone call, and she immediately dropped the vacuum cleaner without thinking about turning it off. When she did, it wedged into the wires of the cage. She went to her phone call, and Paco decided he wanted to see what was in his cage. He got a little too close, and he was in the vacuum cleaner. When she saw that happen, she thought that he was a goner, so she came over and screamed and pulled the vacuum cleaner apart and found him there in the bag, quite dusty. And while he was shaking his head, he didn't realize the next thing. She thought, well, he's so dusty he could suffocate, so she put the coldest water on him and washed him down. And now he's drizzling cold and shivering, so that she decided, I might kill him that way, so she got out the hairdryer and blew him up until he was puffy. You know how feathers look when they're blown up. Whew. A friend called her about a week later and said, how's Paco doing after that traumatic event? And she said, I'm not sure. He just sits around and stares all day long. Yeah. When heavy things happen, it can suck the song right out of our hearts, because life here is always riddled with difficulties. It has been distorted. It has been corrupted by the effects and the power of sin. But freedom from discouragement comes, and can only come, when we know who is handling our problems. Now, amid all of the things that happened this week, last night we had dinner with my daughter, and it was her husband, the one who had previously had that brain aneurysm, who was the calming force. He said, she lost it, but I knew everything would be okay. So God gave him to her as the one that brought back this promise. God gives us the right person, the right things at the right time, including these precious promises that we secure our hearts with, no matter what. Faith clings to Christ with confidence. You'll find in the outline in the bulletin three different P's: God's plan, God's purpose, and God's process. We're going to take one for each verse. Verse 28, a very famous passage, says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know. You know, the apostle doesn't say, usually God is good. He doesn't say, we sure hope God works for our good, or wouldn't it be nice if God worked for our good? He says, we know. Put capital letters there. Because it's that secure. Just like we know life is difficult, we know God is good. And that common experience is expressed by the Apostle Paul. He uses the term five times in Romans, and every single time he is introducing something that is a given, a fact. Now, when you hear that, you need to understand the word to. The original ginosko in the Greek is a word about experiencing. Some things we know from our head, we read about. Other things we know by our common experience, just like a child learns about heat by feeling it. And as we go along, many of us have been through this. On Thursday night, I looked around my little group, and almost every single family had had some great significant loss in the last couple of years, if not the last couple months. And so it was a very real concept. And as we look at these promises, we're looking for confidence. And it is there. We will not be disappointed. Don't miss the little word all, that in all things God works for our good. That doesn't mean that he picks and chooses and some of it's not good. It means that there is no challenge, nothing that happens that cannot and will not be, in the end, beneficial for us. And that's hard to trust, just like we talked with the kids. Sometimes we don't feel it. But yet, if we know God is good, then we know how our good God works. We're told that he works everything together for our good. And the people that he was writing to were the Roman Christians who were being persecuted. They would have, some of them, to face persecution or even martyrdom. They might die because they expressed their faith in Christ. Through all the trials and tribulations, it is there for us, the promise that it is going to be woven together by God for good. James Stoll told a story about his childhood. Growing up in Hackensack, New Jersey, he said, across from the George Washington Bridge in New York, he had a variety of experiences, some of them not so pleasing. He said often they would have to reroute because there was a regular group, a flock of bullies that would come after them. On one day, when the bullies came, he knew he was going to have to defend himself. He didn't know whether they were playing with him or if they were fighting for real. And so he was defending himself, and the guy was really just playing with him. And he faked a swing, and he turned around and swung. And that time, the guy was careless, and he hit him right in the face and knocked his tooth out. He spit it out on the ground. But, he said, I learned something that day, because when I looked down at my tooth and I felt that it was gone, I looked up and I saw that there was a cop watching who promptly sent his partner to round everybody up. He came, he reached down, grabbed my tooth, he got me into the car, took me to the dentist, and the dentist planted that tooth back in my mouth, and it came out straight. It had been the crooked tooth in my mouth. And he said, sometimes the blows of life have a way of taking something crooked and making it straight. You want to see that? Then go to Scripture. Because the life of Job that we quoted for the kids is exactly that. Job could not have known the outcome, but he had to trust his God. He's the one that would say, I know that my Redeemer lives. In the midst of our struggle, there is still faith to cling to Christ. Take Joseph. In the Old Testament, sold into slavery by his brothers. And then when he gets there, he's wrongly accused and thrown into prison. How can that be for good? But in the end, raised to that position near Pharaoh, he's the one that is used. And when his terrible brothers had come to him asking for forgiveness, the last chapter of Genesis, he says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You see, even in the early church, when the persecution broke out from Rome, the Christians could not have felt that it was valuable But yet, listen to what it says in Acts. Those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. As a result, the whole world got to know and went from being Roman to becoming Christian. You know, this promise is not available on the open market. You can't go to a catalog and pay a lot of money for it. It is a gift that is given only to those who are chosen and called. That's you. That's me. The Holy Spirit uses His word to assure us that we are dearly loved and that as we love Him, we will be secure. Jesus says in John 14, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." He is saying there that we are called according to God's purpose. And the purpose is something that is resolved in a person's mind. So what did God resolve? He has a plan to save. Now let's look at His purpose. God's purpose links our lives and our plan to Christ. Romans 8:29. "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." It may not be always something you feel, but it has been done in your heart. The reason you are here is because God has changed you. God has done something in you called faith that has rewritten the program that you run with. Our view of things now looks at it through Paul's lens. We cherish and we understand, even in the hardest things, that God still has it. He knows what's going on. The reason that we know that is because of His Son Jesus. Now, what you're going to find in this context of Romans 8 is kind of confusing if you don't hear with a heart of faith. It sounds like a gory time. In the end of the chapter, verses 35 and 36, he says, "Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." But over that landscape that looks so harsh, our God has written through the Apostle Paul four letters written in bold red, hope, H-O-P-E. In verse 37, he shouts it, "Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors." Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. There is nothing that cannot be used by God for good. Let me put some depth to this. I had a friend when I first came to Milwaukee in the early 80s that had been around when Bank One building was built. You know that downtown? 42 stories high, the largest of its kind between Chicago and Minneapolis. He said when they began to dig that foundation, it didn't look like much, but then the longer it was being built, the more you realized this was massive. They put a gate around it, and when you'd come near, you couldn't even see the shovel, and it was three or four stories high. He said it was some five or six stories deep that they put the foundation. You knew something huge was going to happen. And it has. In our lives, Romans 8 is that kind of foundational promise. There are few bigger buildings than these words. They're magnificent, massive, infinitely wise. Our infinitely powerful God pledges to make everything beautiful. Everything works out. Everything is good, and it's His definition, not ours. Nothing can blow you over when you have a foundation like this promise. Nothing. Outside of Romans 8:28 is the confusion, the anxiety, the fear, the uncertainty, the straw house of drugs, the roofs of retirement plans and cardboard fortifications of things like anti-ballistic missiles. Our government, our army is going to protect us. No, there is nothing that can hold the hurt or the hard hits from us like the promises of God. This is an unshakable structure. The confidence that has, once you have walked through an open door and seen what God has done in Christ, that's where you will be secure. A little girl was lost in London, and when she was found, she was crying because she didn't know where to go. And they asked her address, they asked her home. She said, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it is. But I do know one thing. If you can get me to Charing Cross, it was a special place near the Thames. If I can get to the cross, I can get home. Do you see the disciples with Jesus the night that he was attacked, accused, ridiculed, beaten? They ran. But they watched. They saw through it all that he did not lose his connection with the Father. How he prayed from the cross. How he went even to that final conclusion and said, it is finished. And never once lost it. And then after the resurrection, they realized, this is God's promise fulfilled. This is our hope. It is in that building that we find a certain secure promise. Why is it so effective? Is because the call of God is effective in changing us. By saying you are chosen, by saying you are loved, he affects it inside of you. He causes you to qualify for the gift. God didn't drive up to my door and pick me up and bring me to this banquet of such an awesome promise because it fit my format, my plan. It's because it fits his plan to save me. And he planned in Christ to save me, to save you, even before you were born. I say that, and I'm going to miss a friend who on Thursday nights would sit over here in a wheelchair. 25 years ago, Mike Schnell was in a car accident. On Thursday night, one of the people said they drove by the accident and remember it as if it were yesterday. Mike has been a true gift of God's grace to us and to his family. On Wednesday morning, Tom and I stood with Doug and Sue and watched as the Lord called him home. And in the midst of that hard reality, there was such evidence of faith. The tears were tears of sorrow for their loss, but of joy for Mike. And Doug quietly would say on the side, he'll be jumping for joy. Literally, he'll be running. He wanted nothing more than to see Jesus face to face, and now he's there. You see, God's plan is real. His purpose is to get us home, like Mike, in the right time for us. And his process is what links me to life. Verse 30, and those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. People run all over the place. Sometimes they come to me and ask for help, but a lot of times they first go to the self-help books and videos as though something you do can make it better. It isn't there. You're not going to find it by rushing around and looking elsewhere. You're going to find it in the promise of God's powerful word. It says God works all things for our good. We have to believe. And he has a list here that shows it's not self-help, but a God-help process. Paul is showing that we, like him, must believe it. That he foreknew us even before we began to act up and go the wrong way. And I think when I come before God sometimes, how he can love me after all I've done. But he does. Before I was born, from the beginning, he has loved me. And then it says that he has predestined, which means you're here for a reason. He has chosen you out of a world that could not hear. He has allowed you to believe. Whether it was in the call of baptism or the call of a spouse to your face when he or she said, you got to go to church because you're in need of God. And then comes the call itself when you're shown Jesus and you start to go, I need this. I need your help. I need protection. I need forgiveness. I need repair. From the call, there's the contrast of all that I have done wrong to the good of Christ's life. And I hear God in the court of law say, not guilty. And I can't believe it, but I know it's true. that based on my faith in his life, I have no problem, no gap with God. He loves me and he has proven it. Go back in the context again. At verse 31, he says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Yeah, it's been a hard week at our Savior. I've walked with people through some pretty hard things. My son-in-law on Friday night reminded me of this promise, and I didn't even tell him I was preaching on it. He said, it's working out for good. I saw it in his life last year. I know that our destiny is eternal life. And when you have this security, this promise, you will have the assurance in times of distress and loss and famine and weakness, in peril and sword, that God knows what good is and he is accomplishing it. Here is the foundational security of faith. God in Christ carries us. We can have absolute confidence. And I pray you do. Amen. We affirm our faith that we do cling to Christ by the words at the bottom of page 8. We join. We believe in God, the creator of all things, the source of all goodness and love. He is our God and we are his people. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, true God yet true man. He was crucified, died, and was buried for our sin, that we might be free and know the joy of life. He was raised on the third day and ascended to heaven. He will come again in power and glory to judge both the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the power of God at work inside of us. We believe in the Church of God, his people of faith throughout the world. We believe that our sin is forgiven and that we will live together with God for now and throughout eternity. Amen. We stand for prayer. One of our earliest members at Our Savior, Lord, was called home to your side. Paul Lemke, given a new home in heaven on the first day of this week. Paul came from a homesteading family of farmers who have held on to their land and their homes through the many storms of life by faith. He always knew that the Lord's grace in Christ would get him home to heaven. And after 91 years on the earth, he stepped into the presence of his Savior and was welcomed into a new existence. We also pray for Doug and Sue Schnell, along with Jackie, as Mike completed his journey after just 30 years on earth. After that serious injury in a car accident, he maintained a tremendously loving attitude through many surgeries and setbacks. He was a constant joy to his family and those who knew him and worked with him. Surround them all with your love. We thank you, along with Jim Steinke, who had repair surgery for a torn rotator cuff. Grant him a smooth recovery and patience as his body heals. We pray for Sue Wimmer, Tim and Becky's mom, who has been undergoing tests in a hospital in Florida, trying to learn the cause of arrhythmia. Guard also Tom, 80, who has returned home after a successful surgery to restore the blood flow to his right leg. And Joe Sanfilippo, who is on the mend after a recent heart attack. We pray that you keep them safe. As we continue, then we pray together. Lord Jesus, teach me to love others as you have loved me. Help me be far and alert to the needs of others and always ready to serve them with the gifts you have given me. Lord God, hear me as I speak to you about those near and dear. For all who travel, keep them safe. For all who are sick, heal them, make them strong. For all who are in pain, allow them to have relief. For all who are discouraged, let someone bring them cheer. For all who mourn losses, grant them understanding and recovery. For all who feel their hopes have been dashed through death, be the strong arm they need through Christ, who suffered death and rose again. Dear Lord, let them know that nothing can separate them from your love in Christ Jesus. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And receive the blessing in faith. May the love of the Lord Jesus Christ draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. May the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated for the final song, Forever Ring.
Into your arms.
riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. Light of the world, forever reign. My heart will sing. Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus.
Good morning. Special welcome into God's house. If you're a guest or a visitor, we love having you. We hope you return, and we hope that you'll leave us enough information on the friendship register that we can invite you back again, stay in touch with you. Our Bible class continues on Sunday morning in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. That'll be there. We're on chapter 13, the chapter that says, as our opening song said, love never fails. February brings the start of Lent. Ash Wednesday is February 18th. We have a 3:30 service. And then on Thursday, we have a 7 p.m. service, the same one with communion. The only reason we do that is because Ash Wednesday, people want to come on Wednesday. So we have a split service this week, or that week. Our Savior Fun Night is sponsored by the stewardship team at the end of the month. Friday, February 27th, starts at 6 p.m. And we're starting a couple of new Bible studies once again. Pastor Dr. Kelm is going to take up a study on Mondays, Doctrines in Dispute. He's a great person to do this. He used to write the column for Forward in Christ on questions and answers. And as I always say, you know, there's a lot of those questions that seem to be the same for a lot of people. He's picked out eight of those, and that'll run from early March to the end of April. One more save the date, March 7th, a Saturday. Last year, we started with a Healing the Heart service. It had Lutheran Kaylee Orchestra, Joey Schumann, and we're having them back. They set the tenor, the stage for us to talk about struggle, loss, and healing in the midst of all that. Healing the Heart, March 7th, 8 to 12 a.m. We'll get you more information. And then finally, Forward in Christ subscriptions. You can get those in the back, put them on a clipboard. The deadline to sign up is March 1st. I do have a couple of things that are affected by the services. There's no elders or council. Elders is being rescheduled for Tuesday or Wednesday. Mike Schnell's funeral will be tomorrow night here at 7 p.m., visitation 4 to 7. Paul Lemke's funeral will be here Tuesday at 4, visitation 2 to 4. And the Lord is with you. The Lord is good, and He works for our good. You can believe it and trust it. When I am tired,
so afraid. Your love is like a fire that will light my way. When darkness falls and my vision fades, your love is like a fire that will light my way. And it's always burning and stirring my soul. Like a river flowing.